Today I've been asked to talk something about the path of love. On the spiritual field, what is love? Well, I would say, up to a certain stage, what I'm going to tell, it applies in the phenomenal world, our life in this phenomenal world. The love has been defined in the Narada Bhakti Sutra, Parama Prema Bhakti Rituchate. Bhakti is Parama Prema. What do you mean by Param? Param has got two meanings. One is supreme. Whatever it is there among them, the best perhaps, in that way we call it supreme. But the other meaning is has got a better ramification. The other meaning is Param, that which transcends body and mind. It is beyond all. So in that case, it is actually something which is beyond definition. You can't describe it. It is transcendent. So, okay. The love, what do you mean by a supreme love or a transcendental love? Now, the love can be categorized at three stages. The love which people have, a man has got for a woman or a woman has got for a man at the early stages, say in the college days or a little later while you are working, that is more of infatuation. It is only the externals which attract you. It is more or less where one body craves for the other. So there is a sort of love it is like. So as it grows, when the features change, and when we have become disgusted with the by seeing the same beautiful face day after day. See, actually what is beauty? Chane chane yannavatam vithatte tadeva rupam ramaniyatayam. See, the beauty has been defined as something which you go on seeing, that facet change every time, absolutely. What you see now, that feature will not be seen after 1 minute. If you go on seeing it for 10 years also, on the 10th year, the beginning, one minute what you see will not be for the second minute. Like that you can imagine something for forever when it is beautiful. That means for days together, every minute its phase is changing. And that is actually what is beauty. Otherwise, however beautiful one is, if you go on seeing the same thing for 20 years, one will get disgusted. And so, this is the love at the first level, where the body's attraction is there. This second level is where the minds are more or less become identical. Both go to a restaurant, the boy and the girl, they go to a restaurant, and the fellow orders for certain things, say an ice cream with gulab jamun. The lady says, "Oh my lord, the very thing I wanted to ask, you have asked for it." So that means that their minds are working at the same frequency. Or both of them are sitting on the banks of the Ganges looking at the beauty of the Himalayas. And the one says, "See, I feel like sitting here for my entire lifetime and not going out at all anywhere. I like it so much." "Oh ho, tumne meri baat chheen li?" "Yeah, just snatched the words which are coming out of my mouth practically." I also feel the same thing. So this is the second level where the minds are one. There is a third level where two people don't exist. Only one exists. You have completely the soul to soul, the oneness, it has established its existence. You are not aware of two. There is only one. That is, one is zero, the other alone exists in that way. And that is bhakti, where you don't exist at all. He alone exists. The Lord alone exists. He is the lover, and I am his beloved. He alone exists. I am zero. I am nothing. I am nobody. Where you have identified self in such a way that there is no you at all, only he exists. And that may be defined as the highest level of prema, which is bhakti. Where in due course, so long as you are doing the puja or the meditation, it means there is somebody separate from you to whom you pray, whom you worship, or whom you meditate on. But here is a case where he alone exists. In that way, you feel that he exists everywhere and even in you. As Ramakrishna Paramahamsa did, when he used to do the puja for the mother, he was telling the archanas, Om Shri Matre Namaha, Om Shri Maharajya Namaha, and she was taking the flower, putting it on Om Sonnet. Are bilkul samne Kali ki wo statue hai. It is there before you, the Kali, but you are not aware. You are putting it on your head. Not only that, the consecrated food is being kept, which has been dedicated for the mother. The mother is supposed to take it. Instead of feeding the mother by saying Om Bhava Bhava Swaha, then Pranaya Swaha, Panaya Swaha, with that offering it to her, he was telling Pranaya Swaha, Panaya Swaha, and he was going on eating it himself. There is a stage where you don't exist. Only the Divine Mother alone existed. And more or less, that can be considered as the definition of that ultimate love, the real love which we mean. The real love which we mean. And Kabir beautifully sums it up by saying, Prema ki gali badi sankari. The lover's lane is absolutely so narrow that dona samaya jai. Two people can never go there side by side, holding their hands. Only one can go. And that is the lane of the divine lovers, where only he alone lives. And actually in Vrindavan, it is being told that the only man who exists is only Krishna there. Rest are all Bhivan, who are after him. That's all. And that sort of a love, what actually does it mean finally? When you don't exist, in other words, whatever he says holds good. If he says fall into the river, you will go and fall because you never existed as such. You have no will of your own. You cannot say, no, no, I can't. You have no will of your own. Only her will alone exists. So, in other words, I will call it as the real love at the highest level is a matter of surrender. Absolutely you have surrendered yourself so that you are zero and the entire and irrevocable power of attorney has been given to your lover, to the Lord. So, it is an absolute surrender. And many of us, we say sharanam, sharanam, sharanam in Sanskrit, Tamil, in so many languages, Malayalam, Sharanam means seeking refuge, to surrender. So daily we say, we go before the Lord and say, Ayyappa, Sharanam Ayyappa, Sharanam Ayyappa, and we go on doing what we want. And you do it daily. See, when once you have surrendered, when once you have given the power of attorney, there is no question of your daily giving the power of attorney. You will never say that at all. So that itself shows that your surrender was not at all a surrender. It was only a word. It was only vocally expressed as surrender, but there was no real surrender at all. And when there is love, then the faith comes in. Without faith, you cannot progress in the spiritual field. If I don't have the faith that there is a God, then there is no question of your doing sadhana at all. Any sadhana which you do is either hypocritical or simply you do it on compulsion. The compulsion of the guru. And it is of no use. Surrender means completely, Lord, thy will be done, thy will be done, not mine, not mine. So that is a real surrender. So, in that way, our Bhagavan Ramana, even though people think that he has only given one method, that is being on the quest of who am I, he has very clearly told that, he has given it as a method, he has told, this method, pakvihalukke, these are meant for highly mature people. And everybody who comes here, he says, I am mature enough. And she does. Whoever comes, only that. They do not know about the other two alternatives he has given. The second alternative he has given is surrender. Not only that. See, the number so like him when he says, you take it as the gospel truth. He says, even a partial surrender will do. He has not defined what is partial surrender. Partial surrender means, it may mean two things. Either on 20 occasions, out of 20 occasions where some crisis occurred, you completely left it to God because you already surrendered. Say, 10 cases you have left it to God. But in 10 cases, there were more serious cases. It's a question of my own son having a very severe case of a typhoid. For the past 1 month, his temperature is not coming down. Well, in that case, I know a foreign doctor has come. He's supposed to be an expert. So, will you not call on him? If you call on him, then what is the question of you are giving the power of attorney? You have left it to him. Lord, thy will be done, and then this is your will. Lord didn't tell you, call him. So, it's not everywhere. So, partial surrender is, even if you begin to do it in 10 cases out of 20, then it will grow. Your faith will grow. Finally, when you come to the stage where you leave it all to the Lord, that's all. Yes, it's very difficult. Your own neighbors will tomorrow blame you that you are responsible. If at all he dies, you are responsible. And your wife will say, I will never more speak to you. It is the way to treat your son. It has happened with Gandhi and Kasturba Gandhi. The boy got high fever. He was doing naturopathy treatment, putting him through the sand pack and all that. She said, what, take him to your English doctor? He was not prepared. She said, that day he dies, I'm going to divorce you. She practically threatened him. So, there is the faith. Wherever there is love, there is faith. A Japanese warrior was going in a boat along with his newly wedded wife. Suddenly, for no reason, he took off from his scabbard his long sword, and with a swing, he brought it to cut the throat of his wife. If it was anybody else, she was laughing. He just stopped it, short of touching the throat, and he asked, "Hey, were you not afraid? Why should you be afraid? You are my husband." That faith was there. That faith came because of the love. If you have got faith, you need not this. That doesn't mean you love him. Now you are servant boy. You trust him with even 20,000 rupees to take, put it in the bank and bring it, or 50,000 rupees. You have faith in him, but you don't love him. That's there. So, where there is love, there is also faith. These are the two main ingredients to progress towards ananda. As I told, we don't want any God. He has never helped us a single thing. Did he manage to help you while you were quarreling with your wife? Or when you were a boy, has he ever done a single homework of yours? Has he purchased a single book for you? Has he ever given you 1 paisa for your expenditure? Then what has he ever done? We want ananda, absolute happiness, unadulterated happiness, not mixed with any trials, tribulations, agitations, unhappiness, sorrows, absolutely free from them all. So, but including billionaires, when you ask them at their deathbed, they said, "We were working for happiness, but unfortunately before I could get it, I am in my deathbed." That's all. At 80 years, he was still working for happiness. And his first wife ran away with somebody. His second wife committed suicide. His third wife is at home. He has never seen her face. He never knows how many sons are at home, how many sons have run away. He has no idea at all. There is a state of billionaires. They never had happiness. One billionaire asked his secretary, just jokingly, he himself was about to die. He called his secretary, who was with him for 30 years. "Hey, Jacob, supposing God gave you the option to a deathbed, the next birth, whether you would like to be the Michael the billionaire or you would like to be his secretary, Jacob." He said, "Oh my Lord, Toba Toba, I will never be the billionaire." He had never seen happiness for a day. He had never gone on a picnic for a single day. He had never taken his children to the zoo for a single day. I go at the evening 5 o'clock and come back at 10 o'clock. While you stay here till 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and then you go home. And even while asleep, you get some fresh ideas for diversifying the business. Again, you get up and then dictate to the dictaphone. Have you had one day's proper sleep? You never had it? I would like to be born as his secretary. That is very fine. I get a fat pay. I get my family too. I get my family life too. So many have died. So we all want happiness. But nobody had this happiness. The Upanishad says, "Na karmana na prajayadhane na tyage neke namratvamanasyu." People have built orphanages. People have built hostels, free hostels for blind people. People have built great temples. They mentioned that they had happiness at any time. They were quarreling with the laborers. They were quarreling with the trustees. No, this must be done. Where had they happiness at all times? They were only more involved in all these things. What they were doing was as much a worldly job as anything else. It had nothing to do with spirituality. Yes. And the most, they are supposed to have purified your heart. Where did the purification came? You are quarreling with the trustees. You said, I will not talk to you. I will resign my membership and all that. Was it peace? You have never had peace. You never had happiness. So, our entire aim is to have happiness. And the rishis of yore who had tried to get God have assured us that the only one supermarket for happiness can be opened only by God. He had that key. That is why we are trying to placate him. We are trying to cajole him so that he will be able to take you and let you inside the supermarket, never to come back. When once you go to that supermarket for happiness, you would never like to come back. You get absorbed there itself. So, it is all in the case of ananda only. So, we are all trying to get ananda or happiness. And love is happiness. Even a man who is having only the carnal love, you ask him, why is he doing it? Only for happiness. So the ultimate purpose is happiness. But all these things do not give him. Na karmana, whatever actions he does, it's not going to give him that happiness of God. So to get that immortality and that absolute happiness, one has to think of the Lord. One has to get him. One has to be identified with him. You have to leave the identification with the body and you have to identify with the supreme universal, the highest cosmic entity. He is beyond cosmos, but in our words, the totality, the cosmic totality, you can understand to some extent by those words. So the bhakti is where you may also demand that I want this, I want this, I want this. Parabhakti means you only love the man for himself, you love the Lord for himself, without any expectation, without absolutely that you tell him, I don't want anything, I want you. I want you. See, that is the Parabhakti, where you are not having any motive at all. The motiveless bhakti is called the Parabhakti. There is not a wonder. That's a long, long time. When we talk of love, we told that the Parabhakti, the ultimate Paramaprem, it is only when you go beyond the limits of the body-mind complex. But then there has also been cases where people, bhaktas, have attained the highest bliss only by considering themselves as the slaves of the Lord, loving him to distraction. And this is the opposite of the law which I laid, that Paramapriti is where you become nil. This is because the Gopika's love was something unique in the history of bhakti. In that sense that they were all called Prema Sanyasini by Vallabhacharya. What is Prema Sanyasini? A sannyasini is one who has left everything. But Prema Sanyasinis are those who have left everything except Prem. Then they retain as the Lord distinct from them, as somebody who is distinct from them. And there are two types of this love. One is Samyog Prem and there is Vyog Prem. The love which you have when you meet him, the love which you have when you are separated from him, the pangs of sorrow, the travails they undergo, where every part of their body is being twisted like they're unable to bear it. It's impossible to bear it. They would rather commit suicide. To that level when they do, well, that is the Gopikas. Gopikas knew it was not because that he was the only eligible boy and a bachelor in the entire Vraja that they were attached to him. Not at all. They very well knew that he was the Lord himself, who has incarnated himself for the benefit of the world. And they also knew to that extent some of the secrets of the Lords, that Brahma went and requested Narayana, please, you will have to help. The earth is having too much of the burden of all wicked people. You will have to destroy them all. Well, they say when Krishna was had suddenly disappeared from their midst, then they sing their songs of sorrow and separation. There they say, Nakhala Gopika Krishna Nandano Bhavan Akila Dehinam Krishna Antaratmadri. Krishna, we know you are not the ordinary son of an ordinary gopi called Yashoda at all. You are that indweller who is the witness of all the actions of the Jivatman. Antaratmadrik, the one who sees from inside our hearts. Then, Vikhanna Swarthito Krishna. Vikhanna is the name of the Brahma. The four-headed creator, Brahma himself went and requested him for Bhavana Gupte, for the protection of the world. So like that, they knew pretty well. And then, as a Lord, they love him. And not as any paramour at all. And secondly, as I told, the people, the Gopikas who came to Krishna, they all had some time of entertainment. He danced with them all. How? Again, love takes many forms. The Lord is the embodiment of love. With each of the gopis, he takes one form and is dancing with her. That's there. If there are 150 gopis, there are 150 Krishnas. Well, whatever it may be, for the Lord, is it not a bit morally something bad to be dancing with those birds? No, because he says, Etarbhaga Svapratibam Bhavi Brahmati. A small child goes into the mirror and sees himself there. And if you have got more than one or two mirrors, you will find a series of Krishnas and gopis there. Two Krishnas, a pair of Krishnas. There is no other person, but he sees them. And then he embraces that Pratibimba. The same thing. See, the Gopikas were nobody else, but they were his Pratibimbas. That's all. A Jivatma is nothing but the reflection of the Paramatman. There is never a Jivatma at all. There is never an individual at all. It's all only a dream drama which looks to us as if that we were all individuals in that. It's the Lord who is acting everywhere. The Lord who has become Abir. The Lord who has become Anisha. The Lord who has become Chandaranda. He has become all the people in South Africa, all the people in Europe, all the people in East Africa. Everything was He. He has become the leaf. He has become the root. He has become the stem. the entire tree, plants, and every worm, and every reptile. All these things were he. He has gone with them at all. So, in the same way, he is going with the gopikas. Their minds are pure, his mind is pure. There is absolutely no question of any carnal pressure in it. Absolutely, it is a divine love where they feel that their Atman has come out. The Self is there. Oh Self, come out. Without you, I cannot live. That sort of thing. Then another thing. See, for the Lord's sake, nobody has told them. They were not rishis. They were not munis. They were prepared to leave everything. Kula maryada. See, there is something called the law and the respect of the race. They cannot go at night 12 o'clock because somebody is playing a flute. But they were prepared to leave everything. They say, Pati Sutan Vaya Krishna Bratil Bandavan Adi Vilangyate Krishna Tachuta Gata Kitava Yoshita Krishna Katyaje Nisi. They are resorting to what is called Nindastuti. It will look as if they are accusing him and blaming him. But it is all with love. It is done with love. They say, Krishna, do you understand? We have abandoned our patis, our husbands. They said, oh, don't go, don't go. I said, damn it. And we came away. And even if somebody can divorce their husband, they can't divorce the children. Small children. Children which has not come out of the, their 6 months or 3 months, like that. They simply abandoned them with disdain. And they came. So, and they have left off all their families, their bratas, their brothers, their other bandhus, their relatives, all of them. They said, damn care, they want only Krishna. Thus they have come, because they know he is their very self. And with all that, you fellow, you didn't bother about it, and at night, such a night, you have left us and gone away. Which heartless rascal will ever do it like this? They are asking, Kitava, O cheat, O crooked fellow, Kastajan Nishi, who else is there who will, everybody will have little sympathy at least. But you, heartless fellow. So this is one way of telling. Another very important thing. As I told, these people who came for Rasa Krida, what is Rasa? Rasayeva Rasaha. Rasa is called Rasa. The entire essence of the Lord, this Rasa. That is Rasa. And that is playing with Self. That's all. Nobody else came. And the beauty is, when these people, they lived for a long time. And we never know whether any one of them got their mukti or not. But those, there are some people who are not able to come out. When they came out, their husbands caught hold of them and put them in a dark room which had no exist. There is no window, there is absolutely no hole. They just locked it with a godrej lock outside. They went away. Those people got their mukti that very same night. Hey, how can it be? When does one get mukti? The entire body is karmic sharira. The karma phalas, the good and the bad you have done, you have to experience it and exhaust it. And by that time you accumulate more karmas. So it goes on, it's a chain. A chain is forged. Birth, rebirth, birth, rebirth, birth, rebirth. But how could they get moksha? That means they've exhausted up to that moment all their papas and all their punyas. All their sins for they have to be punished. And all their punyas or merits, for it they had to be rewarded. And that very minute they left their body. That should be the case. How is it possible? All their papas, we have to suffer. Whenever you have done sins, in the next birth we have to suffer. Then only this atoned. Then how did they do it? Dussaha prestaviraha tivrata padutashubaha. You see, preshta means the one who is the most beloved. So when there is separation from him, the suffering they got inside and outside, it was something which is unbearable. Nobody would have borne it. So dussaha, impossible to usko sahana mushkil hai. So it was impossible. Preshta viraha, preshta means the beloved. Tivra tapa, then what happened was, their entire body is burning. They are suffering, both mentally and physically. Then, thus, that it was so intense, their suffering. All their, whatever papas, whatever sins they have committed, they were exhausted. Okay. How was there? All the punyas were, they are inside the jail-like room. How were they able to exhaust that? What happened was, dhyana prapta achyutasnesha nirhritya kshina punyaga aham kshina mangala. You see, and when this is, then simultaneously, even though the body is burning, they are doing their dhyana, meditation. In their meditation, they see Krishna. Ah, Krishna is smiling and is coming towards us. Oh, what a lucky day. Dhyana prapta. Then he comes and he embraces each one of them. Ah, dhyana prapta achyuta asleshya. Asleshya means embrace. It is only in the dhyana, but for them it is very real. So by that, they got such an ecstasy of ananda. By that, the reward for their punya of the past birth was over, and they exhausted all the merits. So all the papas are gone, all the punyas are gone, all the sins are gone, all the merits are gone. Then what happened? Jahau gunamayim deham. This entire body which is made with the trigunas, when all these things are over, when they got it, both punya and papas, the balance sheet, both liabilities and assets, they were all disposed of. The factories were closed. That's all. So naturally the factory was closed, they went to the doors of the moksha only. They got the moksha. They left it at that time. That's all. So this is what the Bhagavata says. Look here. What a beautiful statement. The people who went and lived with him, what happens is, you go on thinking of gulab jamun. Whenever the gulab jamun comes in your hand, you will not bother with gulab jamun at all. You will be thinking of, my mother used to prepare that rajbhog. How big it was. Ah, so this is forgotten already. While they are still thinking of him all the time. So these people already forgotten him. Ye to amara hai. Oh, he is mine. So he never bothered. But this is what happened. So like that. The unique love of Gopikas is written forever in golden words in the history of bhakti. Everybody can see it is a lesson to be known. Not only that, there is a story, you know. One day, Lord Krishna was having a drama. In that drama, what he did was, early morning he never got up. He used to get up by 2 2:13 said in meditation, what happened? So Rukmini has gone to the temple, the rest are all there, the 16,000 wives plus Satyabhama and Jambavati and all these people. Satyabhama goes inside. She says, "Hey Krishna, what are you doing today? Don't talk to me. I'm having severe headache. And please don't talk to me at all." "Oh, my Lord." Then she called all the doctors, Unani, Ayurved, Allopathy, except Jagatpati. Jagatpati is here. So they called all. They all came. They all said, within 10 minutes it will stop. 10 minutes, nahi, 2 ghante hua, koi farak nahi pada. It was not cured at all. Luckily, Narada came there. "Ha, Narada, Narada, you please tell me what we have to do. He is having headache." He knew all the tricks of Bhagavan. He went inside. With a wink, he said, "Hey, Krishna, what is all this? Hey, you always treat everything lightly. Here it's a fact." Then tell me, you are the ultimate. What should be done for your headache? If some gopika is to wash her feet, if some lady is to wash her feet and give her padodaka, and if you drink it, then it will be cured. If I drink it, then I will be cured. And it's so easy, 60,000 wives, 60,000, one will give at least. He went and asked Satyabhama. She asked him, "If I give the charanodaka, what will happen?" Narada said, "You will go to hell. What else is that? It's so simple as that. You will go to hell. Make the husband drink your this thing, that too will. Lord like Krishna be your husband. You will go to hell. It will be the worst type of hell. There are gradations there also. A grade, B grade, C grade. Oh my Lord, I won't give it." He went to others. Satyabhama said, "If you think we are fools, nothing doing, we cannot give." Then he went back. "Krishna, your 60,000 wives and your seven Mahishis, your Rukmini is already gone. They refused to give at all. What to do?" "Then why did you ask me? You are unable to get the medicine?" "No, no. You tell me also, man, how to get. Everything is known to you only. It's all your drama." Then she said, "Try the gopikas. They'll be there in Vrindavan. They'll be always singing my glories. Go and try." So Narada goes to them. They ask, "Narada, how is our Krishna?" "Very bad condition. He's having headache." "Then what are you doing here? Go and take the proper doctors and all that." "No, no, he has told. He wants the padodaka of some lady, well washed. It should be put and then he will drink it." "Okay, okay, we'll do it. Come on, hey, come on. Each one, their pots, they vacated the entire water in it. Khali kar diya. Usko lekar andar gaya. Pura wash karke, us pura paani ko nikal dene laga." They began to give him that, after washing their feet, that. Then Narada told them, "Hey, do you know what will be the repercussions? You will all go to hell." "Are Narada, go, don't waste your time. We will go to hell, any hell, don't bother about it. You are not concerned." Then she went to Krishna. Krishna was sitting, "All right, I only wanted you to know how much they love me and how much these people love me. That's all. That's all."
Thank you.